Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 21st day of February, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And you know what, folks? I have been struck lately by just how far gone most of the nation and indeed the world is when it comes to news that's either being lied about or misreported or just not reported at all. We've got a president that once talked the talk and still tries to claim America isn't socialist or won't ever be socialist, while the rest of us are going, for crying out loud, man, where have you been and aren't you paying attention? And while the news media, sick, seems really upset that one of the dozens and dozens and dozens of leftist, nutcase, false flag artists has finally been caught, I'm talking about Jussie Smollett, of course, don't worry, although he might be convicted, he's almost certainly going to get off with a slap on the wrist. And don't count on him ever going to trial. You almost know they'll plea bargain this one down to nothing. Quietly, of course, he'll now disappear from the front pages just as rapidly as, what was his name? You know, the baby killer in blackface? Oh, yeah, Northam. Now that his story is deep six, along with the lieutenant governor, who may have sexually abused a few women, but it's, of course, different when you swing from the left. They'll both probably serve out the rest of their terms in well-earned ignominy. Meanwhile, you can probably look for Hoax and Jussie to be nominated for an Oscar in a couple of years. He is, after all, far left, and it's not like he committed treason or anything, in which case they'd have never even talked about the story. So now he gets to pretend to be a scapegoat, and eventually, a left-wing martyr. And if he can't get a job with the Pocahontas campaign for president, in the interim, he's a natural fit, after all. There's always Mad Maxine. So what I want to do today is focus on other stories that may have once been in the press, but the more important they turn out to be, the lower profile they take, which is, of course, why you won't hear about the incredible cancer, DNA, and other health threats posed by millimeter wavelength radiation, a.k.a. 5G, coming to a neighborhood near you, or genetically modified frankenfoods, glyphosate, fluoride, mercury, and the like already in your neighborhood. But you'll continue to be bombarded with propaganda about non-existent man-made global warming, all the while global cooling, based on solar cycles, now in the process of repeating yet again, is the far more important and far more imminent threat. So let's start here with a quick review of a few things, courtesy of Fox News, the Independent Sentinel, and several others. More than a couple dozen MS-13 gang members and invaders were pulled from just one caravan, says the headline. At least 25 MS-13 gang members were deported from Mexico after they were found hiding within one of the many caravans. This one had 1,600 Central American migrants, and it was just across the U.S. border, said immigration officials on Tuesday. When they arrived 2 weeks ago in Piedras Negras, Mexico, just across from Eagle Pass, Texas, officials from the Instituto Nacional de Migración identified, at that point, 10 Mara Salvatruca MS-13 gang members. There were warehouse scuffles with police last week, resulting in officials discovering and deporting another 15 so-called agitators, and in addition to the known gangsters, a total of 70 Central American migrants have been deported to their home countries, while another 1,500 have been granted humanitarian visas, thank you, Big Brother Mexico, so they can move about freely just south of the border and await their opportunities. Meanwhile, of course, the socialists say there's no problem, no crisis, because we want all of these folks coming on in, making themselves at home, because we got a whole lot of politically incorrect natives we need to displace. Here next, an update on a story that's been underreported, misreported, or outright lied about for over half a decade at this point. I do kind of think the headline they chose is telling. Hellhole on Earth has been discovered. Well, maybe that's not the right word. Most of us here would have known where to look. At Fukushima. Most people, begins author David Cohen, think they have to die to go to hell, but that's no longer true. Of course, you could go to Chicago, L.A., New York, San Francisco, or, of course, the District of Criminals. Anyway, even the waste stream press, although not very loudly, has finally gotten around to announcing the existence of an outright hellhole in Japan at the destroyed, melted-down nuclear power station at Fukushima. The level of the hot spot on this planet has never before been imagined, and in the face of it, human technology seems to be helpless. At the radiation levels now being charted at Fukushima, a robot, the best mankind supposedly has, would be able to operate for less than 2 hours before complete destruction. And the Japan National Institute of Radiological Sciences said medical professionals had never even thought about encountering this level of radiation in their work. The accident is enormous, they say, in its medical implications. Through future years, too long to contemplate, we'll witness an epidemic of cancers as people inhale the radioactive elements, eat radioactive vegetables, rice, meat, and drink radioactive milk and teas. Year by year, decade after relentless decade, the radiation will build up. And yet, they say, modern medicine doesn't seem concerned. Now, admittedly, folks, for the most part, that part of modern medicine that's bought and paid for and have whored themselves out to be liars, you wouldn't expect to be concerned. As for the rest, well, if they're getting their news from the waste stream, they're not so much unconcerned as just ignorant. New readings at Fukushima, continues the story, have now recorded the highest levels of radiation seen since the triple core meltdown back in 2011. Readings inside the containment vessel of reactor number 2 are as high as 530 sieverts per hour, and that's 70% higher than the highest ever seen at Chernobyl. Furthermore, it was recorded some distance from the actual melted fuel, so in reality, says Hideyuki Bon, co-director of the Citizens Nuclear Information Center, the real levels could be 10 times higher than that. The story notes that these inconceivable levels of radiation would literally be instantly fatal to a man in the area. Exposure to just one sievert of radiation could lead to infertility, loss of hair, and cataracts, as well as causing radiation sickness and nausea. 5 sieverts would kill someone exposed to it within a month, and a single dose of about 10 sieverts could prove fatal within weeks. Meanwhile, radiation is normally measured in millisieverts, 1/1000th of a sievert. And yes, the Fukushima radiation has at least been very helpful in destroying a large part of all life in the Pacific Ocean. A NASA-funded project called ARMOS, standing for Automated Radiation Measurements for Aerospace Safety, has now discovered the existence of high-altitude radiation clouds that could expose airplane passengers to, well, spikes of high-level radiation. They say they don't have a clue where they come from. Well, don't worry. They lie about the microwave radiation they're exposing every passenger to who doesn't know better in the naked body scanners anyway, so what the heck? Says this story, like global warming, vaccines, and now Islamic terrorism, and of course unfettered immigration, there's no real discussion, no real science being reported in the news, so the public is deliberately left completely in the dark about radiation exposure as well. The people with the real power in the world seem to insist we will always see and define the situation as safe for you, so don't worry your pretty little, at least for now, heads about it. And there's this, too, not getting very much in the way of headlines. The operator of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant says levels of radioactivity in underground tunnels near the area have risen sharply. Tokyo Electric Power Company has detected 482,000 becquerels per liter of radioactive cesium in water samples taken from the tunnels back on December 3rd, which is 4,000 times higher than the data taken in December a year ago. And officials are also revealing that 2 trillion becquerels of Fukushima radioactive material flowed into the ocean each and every month during the year, 2013. Now that it's over 5 years later, maybe it's finally time to start letting people know what was happening back when we were still lying through our teeth about it. It's been reported by Andy Gunderson as well, I know we've done this story, folks, that during the first year of the Fukushima meltdown, people on the west coast of the United States and Canada, including Alaska and Hawaii, were bearing some of the worst of the radiation, and people then and now are not taking evasive action, because for the most part, they're being lied to about it, and if you recall, U.S. federal monitoring of radiation was quietly discontinued anyway. At a whole bunch of sites, particularly in the west, even his big brother, both in Japan and closer to home, was quietly increasing the acceptable exposure limits for reasons that are increasingly downright obvious. This author also observes, and your host can't help but concur, that at least one fake news so-called journalist not long ago said, "It's not every day that a U.S. president calls journalists among the most dishonest human beings on earth," unquote. And, what can you say other than, yeah, certainly right up there with the swamp creatures they seem to serve. Before we go from there on to some of the real whoppers today, as if that one wasn't big enough, let's talk about some of the other smaller whoppers that won't be reported to the American people in all likelihood until it's too late. And by that I mean the shelves at Walmart will be empty and people will wake up wondering, what happened? 3 quick ones from Zero Hedge. 1. U.S. housing market in freefall as new buyers can't afford a home. What, you mean higher interest rates might be a problem? Who could have thought it? Alas, the latest NAHB existing home sales month-over-month data is out. All eyes were looking for any signs of optimism, but alas, says Zero Hedge, while the consensus expected a tiny rebound in January following the sharp drop in December, the deterioration in the U.S. home market continued, dropping 1.2% in January. Do you think, asked Zero Hedge, that Fed Chairman Jay Powell is still getting the message? And there's this one. Danish shipping company Maersk, the world's largest, warns that the 2019 global economic outlook is worse even than 2018 when it comes to global trade and international ocean shipping especially. And the Philly Fed isn't happy either. It's being called a shocking Fed collapse. The latest Philadelphia Fed print was an absolute shocker as regional manufacturing and the business index collapsed from a positive 17 to minus 4.1, the first in the negative and the lowest print since May of 2016, and the biggest drop since the U.S. rating downgrade about 8 years back. But I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. If there was any real possibility of an economic downturn, surely the talking heads on TV would warn you about it, wouldn't they? So on then next to the even more insidious stuff. Here's one, courtesy of the New American's Bob Adelman. Just how is it that the Aurora, Illinois shooter, right there in the heart of Gun Control Central and another gun-free killing zone, managed to obtain his state-required FOID, or F-O-I-D card? Answer, I know this is going to come as a shocker to those of you who are on the left side of the aisle. He lied. Do you have any felony convictions? Said the application form. Well, who, me? No. Once Illinois' finest finally figured it out, they sent him a letter, which he, of course, ignored, along with other little itty-bitty things like, thou shalt not kill. And here comes the funny but not part. After Gary Martin killed five of his former co-workers and himself following a 90-minute standoff inside the factory from which he was fired, state law enforcement officials, says the piece, were perplexed. Lieutenant Joseph Hutchins, spokesperson for the Illinois State Police, said, "We're trying to figure out how that happened." Aurora Police Chief Zeman said he was not supposed to be in possession of a firearm. "Well, of course not," says Adelman. "That's the assumption of the anti-gun idiots, that people like Martin will obey the law, regardless of whether it's murder or just some paperwork. They assume people like Martin will always tell the truth. And they certainly wouldn't go into a posted gun-free killing zone now, would they? And isn't it funny how leftists don't trust any of us to actually exercise our God-given rights, but they do think criminals will read the signs? And yeah, if a person's of the politically correct persuasion, increasingly that obviously means not a white male, whether it's a woman regarding sexual assault or a person of color, well, we have to believe them, goes the politically correct narrative, dating back to at least Me Too and the Kavanaugh Circus. That is, unless they accuse a former leftist president of the United States, or they're a registered Republican. Are we seeing the pattern here? Obviously, the Chicago Tribune doesn't. After the Aurora, Illinois incident, says their latest headline, Illinois has to tighten gun enforcement. I mean, really, guys, look how well that's worked out in Chicago. From there we go to the really disgusting. This one comes from John W. Whitehead, courtesy of places like his organization, Rutherford.org, and LouRockwell.com. He also did an interview with the UK Daily Star. I think their headline's a good way to introduce this topic. It says, FBI plotting to keep DNA of entire population on file to create a nation of suspects. Whitehead begins this way. Uncle Sam wants you. Well, correction. Uncle Sam wants your DNA. And I do think George Orwell was right, folks. It really should be Big Brother now. Who are we kidding? Actually, he says, if the government gets its hands on your DNA, they as good as have you in their clutches. And get ready, folks, because Big Brother, helped along by Congress, which adopted legislation, sick, allowing police to collect and test DNA immediately following any and all arrests, basically whenever they feel like it, and President Trump, no longer even paying lip service to the Constitution when it matters, he signed the Rapid DNA Act, it's called, into what now passes for law, and the courts, which have ruled, of course, that police can routinely take DNA from the peons, anybody that they arrest but don't have to worry about actually convicting of a crime, and finally, local police too, says Whitehead, who are chomping at the bit to get their hands on all this wonderful new data, is embarking on a diabolical campaign to create a nation of suspects predicated on a massive national DNA database. Says the New York Times, This is a science fiction future in which police can swiftly identify robbers and murderers from discarded soda cans and cigarette butts, and it's here. In 2017, President Trump signed into law, the Rapid DNA Act, which, starting this year, 2019, will enable approved police booking stations in several states to connect their rapid DNA machines to something called CODIS, the National DNA Database. So yeah, it's now genetic fingerprinting that's set to become as routine as the old-fashioned kind. These portable machines, about the size of a desktop printer, highly unregulated and far from foolproof, notes Whitehead, and so fast they can produce a full DNA profile in less than 2 hours, is allowing police to go on fishing expeditions for any hint of possible misconduct using DNA samples. And let me ask it this way, folks. You ever been to a place where somebody eventually gets robbed, murdered, or raped? Yep, you too might be in the crosshairs. Why, just wait until New Jersey, for example, starts taking DNA samples off now verboten magazines and going after anybody that actually shot their neighbor's firearm. The mind boggles. Journalist Heather Murphy puts it this way. As police agencies build out their local DNA databases, they're collecting DNA not only from people who have been charged with major crimes, but also, increasingly, from people who are merely deemed suspicious, permanently linking their genetic identities to criminal databases. Says Whitehead, suspect society, meet the American police state. Every dystopian sci-fi film we've ever seen, he writes, is suddenly converging into this present moment in a dangerous trifecta between science, technology, and Big Brother that wants to be all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-powerful. He won't say it, I will. Hey, isn't that what the adversary wants to be too? Whether you call him Satan, Lucifer, Moloch, or just old Scratch, as he competes with God? Well, says Whitehead, by tapping into your phone lines and cell phone communications, the government already knows what you say, type, text, and pretty much think. By uploading all of your emails, opening your mail, reading your Facebook posts and text messages, the government certainly knows what you write. By monitoring your movements with the use of license plate readers, surveillance cameras, and other tracking devices, Big Brother knows where you go. Oh, and just wait until Big Brother controls where you go completely and monitors you mile by mile and DNA and fingerprint by fingerprint. If you think you want to go even to the store in your fully electronic, fully monitored AI self-driving car, we're pretty quickly getting to the point where you might have to think again. And yeah, by churning through all of the detritus of your life, what you read, where you go, what you say, government can indeed, and they'll tell you this whether it's true or not, predict what you, well, will do or even might do. And can you say pre-crime while we're at it? And now by accessing your DNA, Big Brother will soon know everything else about you that they don't already know. Your family chart, your ancestry, what you look like, your health history, your inclination to follow orders or chart your own course. And I guess if they wanted to engineer a genetically modified destructive virus or something, well, they have all of that data at their fingertips too. And besides the obvious police state downside, continues John W. Whitehead, remember, none of these technologies are foolproof, and nor are they immune from tampering, hacking, or, well, like we've seen in the press, user bias. And at least until recently, Big Brother was required to at least observe some basic restrictions on when, where, and how it could access some things. Like someone's DNA, and that's all been turned on its head by various U.S. Supreme Court rulings that paved the way for all kinds of warrantless, suspicionless, probable cause-less searches and herald the loss of privacy on a literally cellular level. He goes through case after case after case, but the bottom line seems to be there are no longer any limits on Big Brother's power and ability to do whatever he darn well feels like. And as if that wasn't bad enough, and examples like the police state takedown of really nasty terrorist Roger Stone, yeah, sure, have made clear, there's always the insidious conspiracy theory side of all this, too. The danger, warned scientist Dan Frumkin, is that crime scenes, as we've seen before, especially given the integrity that we've come to know from the seventh floor of the FBI building, can be engineered with fabricated DNA. So I'll put it this way. If you can't trust the feral blockers of investigation to even hang on to honest evidence, like disk drives, without allowing them to be bleach bittered or destroyed, why, oh why, for crying out loud, would you trust them to plant DNA and implicate you in, well, FBI knows what? If they feel like it, or if the wrong guy gets into the wrong office.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along. Move along.
I want to wrap up with at least a bit of a piece by Charles Hugh Smith of TwoMinds.com entitled, Let's Face It, the U.S. Constitution has failed. Because despite the anything-goes quality of what now passes for American culture, one thing remains kinda sorta verboten to say publicly, the U.S. Constitution has failed. The reason why this painfully obvious fact cannot be discussed publicly is that it gives the lie to the legitimacy of the entire status quo. Once upon a time, the Constitution was intended to limit, he notes, 1, the power of government, especially over the citizenry, 2, the power of each branch of government, and 3, the power of political and financial elites over the government and the citizenry, as the founders recognized the intrinsic risks of the all-powerful, almighty state, dominated by one branch of government, and the risks of a financial elite corrupting the state to serve their interests above those of the citizenry. Trouble is, the Constitution, he suggests, has failed to place limits on the power of government and on the emergence of unaccountable states within a state, agencies, and on the political power of the financial elites. Now, here I'll suggest, folks, that if you recall what John Adams had to say, it's not so much the Constitution as it is fallen men that are responsible. As Adams put it, this Constitution is fit for the governance of an educated and moral people only. And obviously, for the last couple of decades, if not longer, we're certainly 0-2 on that score. And as he continued, it is totally inadequate to that of any other. Well, there you go. Smith does note that the Constitution has failed in no less than 3 ways. 1, corporations and the super wealthy elite control the machinery of government, and the public interest is no longer represented except as interpreted or filtered through their interests. 2, the nation's central bank, actually prohibited by the Constitution, but the Federal Reserve, which of course is neither federal nor does it have any reserves, has the power to debauch the nation's currency and reward the wealthy via the issuance of new currency and buying treasury bonds in whatever sum it deems necessary at that moment. And certainly the unelected, unconstitutional, public-private Fed is only nominally under the control of anything resembling an elected government. It's, in effect, an independent state within a state that dominates the financial well-being of the entire nation. And here your host notes again that it couldn't even exist if we actually still paid attention to the Constitution for several reasons. 1, the Congress doesn't have the power to delegate its authority to coin money, which brings me to 2, obviously paper is not money, and the Constitution clearly says nothing but gold or silver coin will be made a tender in payment of debts. So you'd hope the rest would be obvious, and that simply boils down to we haven't had honest, real money for over a half a century now. And the rot goes back over a century. Finally, 3, the national security state, the alphabet agencies, pick 3 letters, I like to say, FBI, CIA, NSA, BATF, ETC, are all independent states within a state, answerable only to themselves, not to the public or their representatives. And so-called congressional oversight is little more than a feeble rubber stamping of the imperial project. And whatever it is that the unelected national security leadership wants to do at that moment. So the Constitution's core regulatory element, the balancing of executive, legislative, and judicial power, and occasional cortex doesn't even have a clue what those 3 were supposed to be anyway, has broken down. Elections, he notes, now provide the bread and circuses stage drama that's passed off as democracy. And, of course, if you've ever read the document, you know there's no democracy anywhere in the actual Constitution or any other of the supreme law. Every emergency now is met with the ceding of more power to unelected elites in positions to serve their own interests, unless, as we've seen most recently, there are real emergencies having to do with a foreign invasion, which actually is in the Constitution. But nobody pays any attention to that either, because the media is pretty much the fourth branch of government. And as we've seen, they too will lie when it suits them, which is all part and parcel of the same problem. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.